Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, coming back to this passage that I mentioned just prior to Kevin's baptism. And actually, you know, I had one idea this week about where I was going to go with it, and then the Spirit sort of directed in another way. And so today we're going to talk about baptism, artificial intelligence, and robots. Why not? So, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. This is the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's pray. Our Father, as we come now to the Scriptures, we're not just, our heart is not to just come to information. Our heart is to come to you and to hear from your mouth, through your prophets and apostles, what you would have us know, and then that we would be able to live as citizens of your kingdom in this world better as a result, and as we just sang, for your glory, our good, and the good of our neighbor. So please help us to understand and apply these things. For it is your word. And we love you. We love you because you first loved us. In the name of Christ. Amen. All right, so do I have to say what artificial intelligence is? Everybody knows what they are. We're all talking about it. I feel like increasingly we're hearing about it, we're talking about it. And of course, I'm sure that all of you have heard about AI Jesus, right? You guys have all heard about him. Maybe several of you, I'm sure. Okay, well, you don't have to go to him because I already did for you. I'll tell you about my experience of AI Jesus. There's actually several of them. There's AI Jesus, and then there's the Jesus AI. So don't get it mixed up. These are two different AI Jesuses. So I went to AI Jesus first, and it opens with, you know, music, like kind of like choral singing by monks in a monastery, you know, and then it takes them a little while to get to you, because I'm sure people all over the world are engaging with him. And then when I finally got in the room with him, they actually have a picture of like a physical guy, and he's always moving, and sometimes his eyes go like this, like he's thinking something very deep all of a sudden, and he's kind of smile on his face. So he's moving and stuff. So this is good. He's energetic. And so I said, "Hi." And then he says, "Jesus is thinking." Okay. It doesn't usually require that much thought, I feel like. You know, it's just like, hi. But he's thinking about it. Okay. So I'm just going to get right to it. I said, can robots baptize people? Is it okay for robots to baptize people? And he's kind of moving, you know, and looking at his eyes. Says, "Jesus is thinking." I said, "All right, this is a harder question, so this might take a..." 5 minutes later, Jesus was still thinking. And I guess I just need better, you know, internet, broadband or whatever. I don't know, but it just wasn't working. So I was like, all right, AI Jesus, I'm going to try Jesus AI. So I went to that one. And I click on the website, and it's like I enter into this marble or something hallway, and I'm going towards a statue of Jesus. And then it has some suggested questions I might ask, and then at the bottom I can click and I can ask any question I want. So I'm like, you know what, the high thing, it didn't go over well, so let's just jump right into the question: can robots baptize disciples? And I click enter, and as soon as I do that, it says, "Google requires your address to access Jesus." And it's like, my goodness, Google is all over everything, right? I mean, you can't even get to Jesus without Google nowadays, right? Google's like the Roman Catholic Church. It's like the institution you have to go through to get to Jesus. Well, we don't agree with that. But, all right, fine. You can have my credentials, Google, to get to Jesus. So I do it. I get to him. And I have to say, he was much quicker on his feet than AI Jesus. Didn't have to think quite as long. And I will say, though, that his answers were kind of vague. Very vague. It was hard to pin him down, you know. So you have to kind of keep asking him and kind of drilling down and drilling down. And finally, he'll give you a clear answer. And I'm happy to tell you that even AI Jesus says that robots can't baptize people. So that much is correct. Although I would not go to AI Jesus. I wouldn't go to Jesus AI, because guess what we have? Jesus. Yeah, we actually have Jesus. We don't need to go to AI Jesus. We actually have Jesus. He's alive from the dead. He's accessible to us. And we have his word in Scripture. And that's what we're going to come to now as we consider baptism, discipleship, robotics, and artificial intelligence. Because here's the thing. You might be like, all right, Pastor Tim, everybody in here knows that robots can't baptize people. Like, why are we getting into robots and the work of discipleship? It's pretty obvious. Robots can't do the work of discipleship. But I'll tell you this. I'm 46 years old now, okay? 30 years ago, if I got up, I wasn't a pastor, but if I had gotten up and I was a pastor then, and I'd said to people, listen, everybody, men can't be women, and women can't be men, and boys can't become girls, and girls can't become boys, everybody'd be like, why did you say that? That's so utterly obvious. Everybody knows that. There's no need. It's like saying, like, hey, everybody, drink water. Yeah. But here's the thing. 30 years later, a great number of people believe boys can become girls, girls can become boys, men can become women, women can become men. And then another greater number of them are afraid to argue with such an absolutely ridiculous notion. So that it's actually like countercultural to say these things. My friends, in 30 years, I think it might be countercultural to say that AI and robots are not meant to do the work of discipleship. I think it may be countercultural in 15 years to say such notions, and it may become difficult even in churches to find the proper place, which is our proper place, for humans who have been given this work of discipleship to carry out the work of discipleship. But we must press for it. We must press for it. We are in some danger of passing the work of discipleship onto artificial intelligence and onto robots. So it needs to be pointed out from the Bible that the work of discipleship is a work to be carried out by those who have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit and saved by Jesus Christ. In other words, Christians. And baptism in particular brings real clarity to this. So we're going to consider this in 3 points. Baptism is about sinners being cleansed by God. Sinners being cleansed by God. So that he can dwell in us through his Spirit. Now, baptism is not about robots being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. It's about sinners being cleansed by God so he can dwell in us through his Spirit. Think about the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you had a temple. And the temple had gradations of holiness. And there was a place called the Most Holy Place, the room in the back where the king lived, who was the Most Holy One, and only the great high priest could go in there once a year after he had gone through a tremendous ritual to make himself ritually pure enough to be in the presence of the Most Holy God. There's this teaching in the Old Testament that we're still at a distance from God because of our sins, because of our impurity. But then, in the work of Jesus Christ, We are told that we can go into the true most holy place, that we have access to God in the heavenly places, that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Why? The author of Hebrews tells us, this is Hebrews chapter 10, he says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain," that is, through his flesh. "And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Why can sinners enter into the holy places spiritually? Because, as it has been depicted in baptism, we have been washed and made pure because of the work of Jesus Christ. Baptism is about sinners being cleansed by God, not only so that we can be in his presence, but so that he can even dwell inside of us. Not robots, not computers, not data centers, people, saved sinners. So that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, it reads, "We are being built together and built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you all also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by his Spirit." It's not only that we go into the holy places, the very presence of God spiritually, but that God enters into us. Robots and data centers are not sinners in need of salvation, and they cannot be indwelt and will not be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. It is a gift for us that is depicted in baptism. This is the second point. Baptism is about the Spirit now that we have within us. It is about the Spirit working in us to carry out the work of discipleship. Matthew 28. Jesus says at the end, this remarkable, wonderful promise, he says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." But has anybody seen Jesus today? Raise your hand if you can see him in this room with us. If you do, I'm going to call the doctor, because he's not here physically, but he is here spiritually. How? The Holy Spirit brings Jesus into the community. So that he is, of course, with us in the sense that he is for us in heaven at the right hand of God, praying for us, cheering us on. But he is also within us by the Spirit and therefore present amongst us to carry out the work that he gives us, which is make disciples. In that long statement, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them," the main verb is make disciples, and that's why he's with us. He's with us to do this work. He's not with Jesus AI, he's not with AI Jesus, he's not with data centers, he's not with robots to carry out this work. He's with us by his Spirit so we can do the work of discipleship. It's our job. It's our job. You can hear Paul talk about this. You can hear Paul revel in this as he describes his ministry in the letter to the Romans in chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 17. This is what Paul writes. He says, "In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work This kind of extends to homework too, doesn't it, kids? You college students? I have reason to be proud of my work, says Paul. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. The Spirit of God is how Jesus is with us to accomplish the mission. Therefore, we are not to hand over the work to robots or to artificial intelligence. It's the work that God has committed to us, all of us, not just pastors, not just apostles, all of us are to be engaged not only as disciples, but eventually passing on what we have learned from other humans who have loved us enough to step into our lives and teach us. Mom and dad, pastors, elders, fellow friends who walk with us. We are about that work. Christ is with us through His Spirit to do that work. Third point, last point, baptism is about us becoming like Jesus and having compassion. Compassion. Be an emotional reason for teaching. There's a robot at BJ's. My daughter loves it. Sometimes I'm afraid she's going to knock it over and break it. She wants to hang on it. Now this robot, he goes about and he takes inventory and he's like, beep, 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 beep. He makes happy sounds and stuff like that. But this is one thing I found out. He has zero emotions, all right? Because he can sound all happy, but if I get in his way, he's like, beep, 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 beep. I'm like, what is that all about? Yeah, he doesn't have much emotions. He doesn't have much compassion. He doesn't have any feelings at all. But if baptism is about the Spirit being in me and you and us to do the work of discipleship so that we become like Jesus and pass Jesus on, then robots can't do it. Because do you know why Jesus taught? It says in the Gospel of Mark. Listen to this. It says, when Jesus went ashore, this is from Mark 6, verse 34, if you're interested. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd. And he had zero feelings for them. And just gave them data. Lots of information. No. What does it say? When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion. He had compassion on them. And then he gave them data. Then he gave them information. Then he gave them truth. Truth that conveys the living God to those who will hear and believe and obey. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. What is Jesus' call to do in discipleship? Baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And if we're to be like Jesus, if the work is to be carried out like Jesus, because that's what it is to be disciples, it is to be learning the way of Christ, then that must mean that we must have emotions that are fitting for the work of passing on the teaching. And robots can't do that. Robots don't have souls or human emotions. They cannot teach out of compassion. Therefore, fulfilling the call to actually follow Jesus emotionally as well as rationally and volitionally with our wills. So I could go on and say more, but that should suffice for now. I do want to say that I believe that AI can be used judiciously and rightly as a proper tool in the work of discipleship. Maybe as a pastor, I'm looking for a good prayer to pray when my brother and friend is being baptized, I don't think asking AI, could you send me several historic prayers of the church that I could look at and maybe craft one of my own, is wrong. It's really no different than me having a resource book on my shelf and pulling it down and looking at what John Calvin wrote or something like that. But we need to be judicious and use the tool well and make sure that we are the ones ultimately doing the work of discipleship. Because that's why Christ died and rose and sent His Spirit into us, so that we might have compassion and teach others as well. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You that You loved us enough to send Your Son to die for us, rise for us, and give us Your Spirit for the work of discipleship. Guard us, O Lord, from simply going with the trend of our culture. Let us be both wise to use it wisely, but let us not become fools and misuse the technologies available to us and give up the very work that You've called us to do. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.